This is the KVNF Regional Newscast for Monday, February 22nd. I'm Gavin Dahl. Former Ouray County Sheriff Lance Fitzgerald was arrested for suspected driving under the influence once again. He is still facing prosecution in his last DUI case after allegedly failing to complete the terms of a diversion program, reports the Ouray County Plain Dealer. This is the former sheriff's third time getting busted for alleged DUIs in recent years. Ouray's drinking water has likely been infiltrated by surface water, the Plain Dealer reports. Tests by the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment show surface water is seeping into the water supply near Weehawken Spring or at a pipeline carrying that spring water into town. When the Department of Health makes an official reclassification of the water supply, the town has 60 days to take action. Ouray must increase the amount of chlorine used to disinfect its drinking water supply, a limited and unpopular response. In the long term, the town needs a new water treatment plant. The hot springs in Rico are now closed to non-residents, the Telluride Daily Planet reports, after becoming overrun with visitors the last few years. New resident owners who bought the property in October are making changes. They've asked residents in the tiny town to sign waivers to continue using the hot springs and will ticket non-residents for trespassing. And the National Western Stock Show in Denver is planning for 2022. This year was the first time the 114-year-old annual event has ever been canceled. Instead, the Denver Post reports the National Western Center launched renovation projects, including expanding the Stockyard Event Center and refreshing the complex with new roads, bridges, utilities, and riverfront work. According to the organization's CEO, the tradition will continue next year in January. A picturesque 117-mile stretch of highway in southwest Colorado is now a national scenic byway. For KVNF, Laura Palmisano reports.
The Silver Thread Scenic Byway, also known as State Highway 149, runs from South Fork to Creede to Lake City and ends at the Blue Mesa Reservoir just outside of Gunnison.
And it weaves through four counties. It crosses the Continental Divide.
That's Kathleen Murphy. She runs the Silver Thread Colorado Scenic and Historic Byway. It's the nonprofit that championed for the designation. She says for every 6 miles of byway,
there is one historic landmark that is on either the National or State Historic Registry,
including the historic mining town of Creede, Wheeler Geological Area, and the infamous Alfred Packer Massacre site outside of Lake City. Murphy says the designation is good for tourism.
Also will give us an avenue to continue to protect the beauty and the history along the scenic byway.
The Federal Highway Administration selects which highways become national scenic byways, as directed by an act of Congress. The administration recently named the Scenic Highway of Legends in Colorado as one too. The highway goes from Walsenburg to Trinidad in the southern part of the state. Colorado now boasts 13 American byways. For KVNF, I'm Laura Palmisano.
You have to go back more than a century to find a time when Coloradans faced a crisis as big and deadly as the coronavirus pandemic. But experts who studied the state's response to the so-called Spanish flu of 1918 say history is not repeating itself when it comes to how state lawmakers are responding this time around. Capitol Coverage reporter Scott Franz has more.
If you are going to the state capitol, be prepared to answer a list of health questions and have your temperature taken.
Do you have any flu-like symptoms, fever, shortness of breath, coughing? You're good to go. Thank you.
You'll also see plexiglass barriers and signs warning you not to push elevator buttons without using a tissue. In the basement cafeteria that normally sounds like this is roped off with yellow caution tape and eerily quiet. It's all because public health experts fear the Capitol building, with its stuffy rooms and big crowds, could become a hotspot for a virus, as historians say it was during the 1918 pandemic.
It was the perfect breeding ground for disease, and that wasn't really anything that state officials seemed to pay attention to.
Derek Everett is a member of the history department at MSU Denver and Colorado State University.
You had people who were traveling there for all sorts of state business in ways that people don't need to go to the Capitol specifically today. And all of those in-person things continued during the influenza epidemic.
Everett says the legislature shunned social distancing and even brought in lawmakers from Wyoming to have a joint session. Governor Oliver Shoup went ahead with his inaugural speech that brought hundreds of people inside the building. And as you might imagine, the lack of precautions had consequences.
There was a case in the spring of 1919 where the state treasurer at the time collapsed at his desk with influenza-like symptoms, and several other members of the state treasurer's office didn't have the same reaction that he did, but it was clear there was a major outbreak of it in his office.
But some at the Capitol were taking things seriously. Erlo Kennedy was a doctor from the Western Slope. He led the state's health department and said everyone should wear a mask.
Dr. Kennedy did his best to try to convince people that these were things that needed to be taken seriously. And state officials just kind of shrugged him off. They would almost pat him on the head and say, well, okay, thanks, Dr. Kennedy. Thanks for your input. And then really nothing was enforced, certainly at the state capitol.
After months of trying to convince lawmakers of social distancing, Kennedy ultimately died of the flu. State historian Duane Vandenbush said the government's indifference to that virus meant state residents were left to fend for themselves.
You are out there on your own. If you don't have a job and you don't have money for food, you're up against it. You're not going to get any help from anybody.
The virus also took a much bigger toll on the state than the coronavirus has today.
In Silverton, they tried to call the coroner, and the coroner didn't answer the phone. They went down to see him, and the coroner was dead with dead bodies all around him.
Despite the devastation, Derek Everett says the legislature barely mentioned it when they started their 1919 session at the Capitol.
There was a sense that, you know, it wasn't really something that the state government needed to treat as seriously as we've taken the coronavirus pandemic today. And I think that that's a sad thing because, you know, Colorado's infection rates and death rates in the influenza epidemic were disastrous, incredibly high.
Today, pandemic relief is a top focus for Democratic House Speaker Alec Garnett as lawmakers start a new session that was postponed for a month by the coronavirus.
Our top priority will be to see our state out of the public health crisis and to work to usher in a swift economic recovery for Colorado's hardworking families and small businesses.
Lawmakers will debate a stimulus proposal worth $1 billion. Among other things, it would provide free diapers to cash-strapped parents and expand broadband to more parts of rural Colorado. And unlike 1919, most lawmakers were vaccinated ahead of the session. But in a way of history repeating itself, mask wearing is not required for lawmakers inside the building. I'm Scott Franz at the State Capitol.
Capitol Coverage is a collaboration between members of the Rocky Mountain Community Radio Coalition and KUNC. That does it for the KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Gavin Dahl. Special thanks to reporter Kate Redman, and thank you for supporting local independent public media.